they don't have enough time to do their
All right, everybody, I'm going to call the meeting of the House Committee on Rules to order for Wednesday, February 28th, 2018. I want to make sure folks know that we are not going to work 1547 today. We have another amendment that we just found out we needed, so we will do that tomorrow. So if you're here for that, you don't have to stick around. But we'll be back tomorrow. All right, with that, I'm going to open a public hearing on, public hearing or work session?
Work session.
Okay, work session on Senate Bill 1510.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 1510A modifies laws relating to elections, prohibits the disclosure of certain voter-related information, includes certain voter-related information in lists maintained by county clerks and Secretary of State, and directs the Secretary to make the list available to each business day during the election period, requires that certified ballot title be included on official template of cover and signature sheets of initiative positions, caps the number of signatures that may be included on a prospective petition to initiate a state measure at 2,000, directs elections officers to reprint the ballot if officer determines that at least 61 days prior to the election that the candidate has died, withdrawn, or is not qualified for office, eliminates the obligation of a district elections official to notify a county clerk whether a county candidate elected to a district office is qualified to hold that office, clarifies which of the two deadlines applying to filing statements of contributions and expenditures in certain circumstances, formalizes the process for non-affiliated voters to apply to vote in major political party primaries, authorizes a candidate or the treasurer of a principal campaign committee, petition committee, or political committee to amend a statement of organization within five business days of filing to include financial account information, modifies time periods related to writing candidates and district election determinations, modifies terminology and other technical adjustments, declares an emergency, and is effective on passage. At this time, this bill has a no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact.
And Kimberly, did you want to come up and talk about what's in the bill?
Chair Williamson, members of the committee, my name is Kimberly McCullough. I'm here on behalf of the ACLU of Oregon. I want to talk to you about two parts of the bill. The first is about the signature gathering and the ballot title process. So we believe that voters should have accurate information both when they're signing initiative petitions and also when they're going to vote. And so the provisions in this bill that clarify that after, so there's the, so just so in case everybody doesn't know the process, I'm sure you probably do, but there's the first 1,000 signatures that you have to get, and that's when the ballot title process begins. During that process, you can get up to 2,000 signatures, but you can't gather signatures after that 2,000 until the ballot title has been finalized. That's what this bill clarifies. We really think that it's just important that circulators have that final ballot title language before they do that that signature gathering after the first 2,000 to make sure that voters understand what they're signing. So there's a lot that can change in that process of fighting over what the ballot title actually says. We have some examples that I sent to the committee on the other side. I'd be happy to share those with you after the hearing or when I go back to my computer. But people really rely on the ballot title to be accurate, and they often don't take the time to read the entire ballot measure. And also, not everyone is a lawyer, not everyone understands what laws actually mean or what they do, and that's why it's so important that that ballot title be accurate. One thing that came up on the other side, and so I just want to address this proactively, is the idea that there are folks who participate in this ballot title process to slow down the process, because it does take some time to engage in the debate over the ballot title. So first, folks can give comments to the Attorney General, and if they're dissatisfied with the outcome, they can appeal it to the Supreme Court. So any registered voter can participate in that process, and we think that process is actually, it's important that that process be robust and that anyone can engage in it. because the more folks that provide comments, the better the title actually becomes, because often one of us may not think of all of the ways that that language could be interpreted. And so making sure that it's a robust process where a lot of folks get to provide those comments and come up with the best title is something that we think is super important. The other thing about that is, yes, that can delay the process somewhat. And so our advice to folks that are engaging in initiative petitions is really to start early and do their homework. And if for some reason the ballot title doesn't end up the way they want it, or and also write, frankly, easy to understand laws. That's actually where a lot of the problem comes from, is when the law is difficult to understand. And so the ballot title is difficult. Right, I know, right? But when the law is a little difficult to understand, then sometimes it's difficult to write those titles. And you know, if people run out of time, then that's the way our process is, just like in this building. You can come at it and try it again. The other piece of it is just a section that addresses voter privacy. So it clarifies what has to be released, but also ensures what is currently protected in terms of private information, and it, in particular, information that's not to be released includes the last four digits of our social security number, our driver's license, and also our signature. We just think that clarifying these things and protecting voter privacy is important, while also getting folks the information that they need. So,
great. Yeah. Questions? Yeah.
So phone numbers. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yeah.
Phone numbers would now be disclosed.
Phone numbers are not disclosed. Also, and I believe date of birth. It's just going to be the birth year instead of the entire birth date.
I see, because the information I got was that they're not disclosed now, but this bill would require.
I believe it's the converse.
It's the opposite.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel better already.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Had a couple of questions about the ballot title. You talked about you wanted voters to be. I forget how you phrased it, but to have the advantage of having a ballot title that's approved by the Supreme Court, is that correct?
Representative McLean and Chair Williamson, we believe that the ballot title process, whether it comes out of the AG's office and it's not challenged and nobody offers comments, or if there's comments and the AG then makes corrections and changes, or if it goes to the Supreme Court and they ultimately make changes, that whatever comes out of that process, particularly if it's been a robust process, is going to be a better product than what started at the beginning, because the whole goal of that process is to come up with a more accurate title that really portrays to people exactly what the ballot measure does. So we think that the public benefits from having accurate information about what they're voting on and what they're signing.
May I follow up then?
Yeah.
I would, so in the rule or SB 510, when it deals with the Secretary of State's rule of permitting signatures during that time frame, it sounds to me like what you're saying is you don't want people signing ballots. So in other words, ballot titles mm-hmm. written one way could influence someone to sign an initiative, whereas a ballot title worded another way could dissuade them they're influenced by ballot titles.
Representative McLean and Chair Williamson, that's a very good point. That's exactly what I'm talking about. If people read a ballot title and they think it means something different than what the ballot measure would actually do, they might say, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. But when the ballot title has been changed to be more accurate and they say, oh, that's actually what it does, they may say, you know what, I don't agree with that. I'm not gonna put my signature on that. So the goal is to have it be as accurate as possible so they know what they're signing. That's really our goal here.
Okay, then I guess my follow-up is this. Then we're looking at the time frame, because mm-hmm. you mentioned, you know, appeal process. If we ignore this, if this bill passes, it would say to the Secretary of State, go back to the previous rule, which says your time frame is condensed to when the Supreme Court approves, or the appeal process is final, to when the deadline is to gather signatures, and that compresses the time frame, correct?
Rep. McLean, Chair Williamson, would you mind rephrasing that? I'm not sure I quite followed that.
If the Secretary of State, by saying you can gather signatures while the ballot title is being appealed, mm-hmm. allows for a greater time for a citizen to get signatures, mm-hmm. correct?
Correct.
So the inference is that by converting to the previous rule, you're reducing the amount of time citizens have to gather signatures.
Representative McLean and Chair Williamson, my understanding is the way that this process has worked for a very long time is that you have those initial signatures, it starts the ballot process, and then you have to wait until the appeals are complete before you continue those signature gathering. So we think that process is a good process, and no other, I know that there were proposed rules by the Secretary of State, but my understanding is that he's looking to you guys to make sure to clarify this. Those proposed rules would have potentially allowed for more time for signature gathering. My counter to that would they would have allowed more signature gathering when voters may be signing something that is an inaccurate or misleading or not full picture of what it is that they're actually putting their signature on. So yeah, that does reduce the time. But again, folks, you know, these things go up for a vote every 2 years, and so we would suggest that folks start early and get a title that they think is accurate, and if it doesn't work out, then start again.
Okay. Madam Chair, I may need help. Maybe you can help me, but isn't there, this bill effectively removes the Secretary of State's rule, or was that rule, was the adoption of that rule, I know that he had said, you said he may have paused. Did he pause? Is there someone from the Secretary of State's office who could answer this question anywhere near here?
I don't see them in the room.
Okay. Perhaps.
Representative Rayfield says he can answer that question.
Okay.
Yeah, the Secretary of State initially posted these rule changes, and I think it's really important to note that, you know, they were under, you know, a lot of debate whether this secretary had constitutional authority to do so. In fact, there were legislative council opinions that said he did not. In fact, said that the law was really clear as it is. Based upon those several legal opinions, and then there was a process filed with under Oregon statute to then review the constitutionality of his actions. Through that process, the Secretary of State then made the decision to actually, within a couple of days, go back on certain portions of the rules, specifically the ballot title component, and re-updated the manual to basically go back to the old rules. I think his statements were something, and I don't know for sure, I don't want to quote what they were saying, but I think the idea was the legislature can take this up in the short session before he made any final decision on what to do. And I don't want to speak for him, so I think I want to make that real clear. That was just Dan Rayfield's interpretation of what happened, although the rules did specifically change, the manual online did, but they are now
here.
The
Secretary of State's
got great. Maybe we could have Mr. Elzinga or Mr. Trout tell us whether this has the effect of answering the question posed by the Secretary of State to make sure we state what we want, or it has the effect of removing what the Secretary of State proposed.
Chair Williamson, members of the committee, my name is Steve Elzinga, Governmental and Legal Affairs Director for the Secretary of State. The Secretary of State appreciates the legislature's response to his request for clarification. He is disappointed in the specific manner of clarification that the legislature has chosen, as it would prevent citizens from moving forward with initiatives, and it does restrict initiative voting rights. However, it does clarify in a legally sufficient way and will resolve, will resolve this issue.
Okay, then a follow-up to that would be, then it sounds like you both are agreement. Please speak up if you're not. Who writes the ballot title matters. And the existing law is that the choice we're making here is to say, even though the time frame for citizens to gather signatures would be compressed by waiting, you couldn't get a valid signature after the timeline, that this bill is saying that's the policy we prefer. That's what you're interpreting from this as a policy choice to prefer appeal process over timeline to gather signatures.
Chair Williamson, members of the committee, I believe the language in the bill is very clear as to what the legislature is requesting, and the Secretary of State will obviously implement the policy direction of the legislature.
Okay. That's a nice way of saying what she... We are compressing the time frame, but that's the choice of this committee.
Can I go ahead? Thank you, Madam Chair. So my understanding is that we are reestablishing in this legislation what standard process has been over the last 10, 20, I'm not sure how long we've been doing it this way. Yeah, but my understanding, is there an argument? And so I guess I would disagree with the compressing, because historically, what the way the process has worked is signatures are gathered for a title. The title goes in, it gets asserted. Sometimes it gets challenged, sometimes it doesn't. When that is resolved, then they're ready to go for the full gathering.
That's the process we use.
Now I'm going to turn this into a question. Is that accurate? I mean, I believe that is historically how it's been done, correct?
Representative Smith Warner and Chair Williamson, although Steve may be a more of authority on this, that is my understanding. And if I just might add to Representative McLean's last question, you know, there's a whole lot of case law that the Supreme Court has developed about how to craft these titles. And as much respect as we have for the Attorney General's office, they don't always get it right. And so there is all of this case law that really explains, like, this is how people interpret these types of words, and this is crucial information that needs to be included. And so we think that there's all of this law has been developed for a reason, because it's important that those titles be accurate. So, yeah, it is a policy decision. I think it's a policy decision that relates to having informed voters.
But it was a policy decision made decades ago.
As I understand, Steve.
In Madam Chair, if I could just say, look. I was very vocal opponent to this committee mm-hmm. jettisoning that policy process mm-hmm. when it suited them on what became Measure 101. And yet, even this year, we found out again that this committee was going to entertain a discussion to write the ballot title on what would be the health care for all committee, right? So. This committee has undertaken and quite readily jettisoned that process when it deemed fit. Now, I voted against it. I didn't think it was wise. I thought it was gaming the system, but it did. And so, you know, all the Secretary of State was really saying was, let's give these voters the amount of time that is generally accepted under a longly, you know, 100-year rule to give them to gather signatures. Because if you're going to just jettison this process, then what you're saying in essence is, this is not the value we hold most dear. What we hold most dear is the rights of citizens to gather signatures and petition to address their government for redress. Now, if what we're saying is, no, what we hold most dear is this ballot title process, then okay, we'll make that decision. But what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And this legislative body, therefore, should not be writing ballot titles and should respect the process that we're standing here and holding so dear.
Representative Nose.
I'll pass.
I would just posit that's a false choice.
Hold on.
Okay. Representative Barreto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So we have seen
when you talk about clarifying what the ballot title should be or what the intent is, it seems like we have seen from my side of the aisle, we have seen ballot titles totally emasculated, you know, to where they don't even say what the original intent of the ballot measure was supposed to be. And it was then it even becomes more confusing when you go out to try and gather signatures. So what you're saying, though, is like Representative McLean said, as far as compressing the time, you have to wait until that ballot title is resolved, until you start gathering signatures, and then that time frame is shortened. But also, sometimes when that ballot title does come out, it's more confusing than when the thing started.
Representative Barreto and Chair Williamson, I'm not sure of the specific instances you're thinking of, but I can think of a recent example, and I wish I could remember what it was, what the number was, but where a law was actually written in a really confusing manner and actually would have had a legal effect that was actually seemed quite different from what the proponents actually thought it would do. And through that ballot process, which I think I was one of the folks that was providing comments, what we saw was that the title was not satisfactory to the petitioners, but the title actually more accurately described what that law actually would do. And I think that then prompted folks to think, oh, well, we need to write this law more clearly because it doesn't actually do what the proponents want. So I don't know the specific example that you're talking about, but at least in my experience, there have been times when I think maybe the proponents didn't actually know what the language of the bill would have actually done legally.
Just one little, I wish Representative Nierman was here because he could give you a perfect example of that from just a couple years ago. I think it said the American language would be the official language of Oregon or something like that, and it got completely.
Representative Barreto, that's the example I'm thinking of. And I think that the law as it was written did something very different than the proponents actually thought. Yeah. It, at least that's what it appeared to me.
And that's why we have courts.
Questions?
Chime in real quick.
Okay.
I just wanted to push back a little bit on the narrative regarding kind of the clarification or the that we are changing existing law or the rules. The history on this law has been very clear, and the Secretary of State's office is now, and it does have, I think, a little bit more legislative history that back in 1985, you had the Attorney General and the provide advice to the legislature as in testimony, as well as the then Secretary of State, Barbara Roberts, pointing out that you could not gather signatures during this period. That's back in 1985. You have 32 years of Supreme Court testimony. If you look at the dicta and the way that they've treated a lot of different opinions, they have all acknowledged you cannot gather signatures during this period. In 2007, when some of us, most of us probably weren't here, maybe Paul Hovey, but 2007, sorry, Paul, a lot of people in the legislature, a bill was considered, it was House Bill 2082, and this was a bill that had an amendment, literally had an amendment that this committee considered to allow what the Secretary of State was proposing, which was to allow to collect this, and this committee rejected that opinion. That bill went to the House floor, where the Secretary of State voted no on that bill. So the law has been pretty clear since then. This really is, I mean, just in some ways is very redundant to just really say, hey, yeah, we meant it when we said it in 1985. We meant it in 2007 when we ignored it, and we mean it now again in 2018. Gosh. So I just wanted to push back a little bit on that narrative. And then also just to Representative Barreto, just always remember that ballot titles do go to the Supreme Court, right? And these are, nonpartisan positions that then review that and change the ballot titles. Even on Measure 101, they changed the ballot title to the dislike of opponents and the proponents, right? So it's always, it's nice to have that backstop with the Supreme Court.
Can I ask another related question?
Sure, Representative Barreto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to comment on that, I would take the term nonpartisan lightly because I don't think it's always come out that way.
Could I ask a point of clarification to either Adam or the testifiers?
Sure.
So on the, could we just get complete confirmation on the phone number question?
We were just going to clarify
okay.
that.
Yes. Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, phone number is included in information that can be given over, specifically under Section 21, line 9. It's on page 20. So.
And that has, that's not a new ad of disclosable information. That's always, always. Yeah, that has, it has been disclosable for some chunk of time.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I can't speak intelligently about that.
Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the Secretary of State's offices, previous offices, have applied the voter list disclosure to include phone numbers historically. However, in July of last year, based on interest in Oregon's voter list and what is disclosed, our office took a comprehensive look at privacy policies, and we chose not to disclose phone numbers at that point in time. In addition, we also stopped disclosing the day and month of a person's birth date. This, the language in 1510A codifies our current policy exactly, except that it requires phone numbers to be disclosed, whereas our current policy prohibits phone numbers to be disclosed. In all other respects, it mirrors our current policy in regard to what must be disclosed and what may not be disclosed.
But they were disclosed until last July.
They were disclosed until
the regular practice.
Towards the end of last July, yes.
Okay. I guess I was wrong about that.
Mm-hmm. Kenimer.
We do have other legal prohibitions against the delivery of phone numbers, for example, for law enforcement officers. Mm-hmm. Does that stay in place with this bill?
Yes. So there's there are other categories.
Yes.
Of specific confidentiality, such as someone who pre-registers to vote as a 16-year-old, their information is confidential until very close to their 18th birthday. And so there's several other categories. So I'm just talking about the people who are not in one of the special categories. Their phone number would be required to be disclosed under the current language in the bill.
All right. Thank you very much. We are in work session. Can we stand at ease for 2 minutes?
Blue person.
All right, we are back on the air. So we, I will remind you, are in a work session on Senate Bill 1510.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 1510A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Rayfield has moved Senate Bill 15.
Or Senate Bill, thank you.
1510A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I need more time to dive into this because I think both of our witnesses brought up a good point, but this will give me an opportunity to try to drill down with the Secretary of State on what it is about this because on the policy, because I'm seeing that perhaps he's trying to implement what he discerned was the policy of the legislature with its behavior towards what became Measure 101. And so I'm gonna be a no on this, but I, of course, reserve the right to change my opinion based upon the information I acquire in the meantime when it comes to the floor. Appreciate the good work, but I just think since we're raising policy classes and clashes in essence trying to figure out what this rule was and why he pulled it back, I'm going to decline to vote yes until I know for sure.
Great, thank you. Any other discussion? All right, Sam, can you please call the roll?
Brad?
No.
President
Colby? Aye.
President Kennedy?
No.
President Dibb?
Yes.
President Warner?
Aye.
No.
Vice Chair McClain?
No.
Vice Chair Rayfield?
Yes.
Chair Williamson?
Yes. Motion passes. We will figure out a carrier. I'm going to close that work session. And colleagues, we are also going to roll over to tomorrow, 1540A. We are waiting on an amendment. We do not have that yet. So 1540 and 1547, we will be back here at some point tomorrow to talk about those.
Sweet it is.
We need to introduce an LC.
You did pretty good on it.
Thank you. 4 years of that.
I'm going to open up a work session to introduce committee measure.
Madam Chair, go please.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, before us is LC 286, a new resolution that adjourns to the 2018 legislative session for the 79th Legislative Assembly, sine die.
All right, Madam Chair, I move LC 286 be introduced as a committee measure.
Vice Chair Rayfield has moved LC 286 to be introduced as a committee measure. Is there any discussion?
Is this the sine die bill for this session?
Yeah.
According to Adam, I think.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, while in the Senate rules, there is a Senate counterpart to this. My understanding, this is the House vehicle for this.
The House vehicle to end this.
Yep. Would you like to make any more comments for the record?
Representative McClain, could you do your clarification remark that an introduction of a bill?
Yeah, really. Doesn't mean you support it just because it's a committee member.
Good point. I'll, in that regard, I'll be happy to support.
Yeah, okay. All right. Any discussion? Any objections? All right. Motion passes. I will close that work session. We will be back tomorrow. Friends, see you then.